So our next guest on the line will have us feeling groovy also as I bring on Monica Jackman. Monica is a coach and she uses neuroscience. That's very interesting. How are you, Monica? Good morning.
Good morning, Sharon. I'm good. Thank you very much. How are you?
Perfect. Absolutely perfect today. So, Monica, can you tell us, neuroscience, it sounds so scientifical. And I guess it is. But when that comes to coaching, I'm sure it's a bit more user-friendly. What is neuroscience?
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the practical approach of it. The practical use of it in coaching is really what I like about it. Because, as you say, I'm not a neuroscientist, but coaching with neuroscience means that the coach and the client work together with a focus on the whole system. And that's the whole body, the head, the heart, and the gut. So you're looking at everything with a holistic approach. You look at values, you know, what's important to a person, and their self-belief. And all of this is all, you know, normal part of normal coaching, as we say, but the neuroscience is kind of added in bit where we can look really deeply into this and look at self-regulation, where the client learns how to soothe themselves when they're stressed, and that, and different techniques. The coach teaches the client about hormones and neurochemicals, how they can regulate their own stress with breathing exercises, or sometimes by just even reminding themselves of other times when they felt confident. Because you don't have to be in that state always or in that situation. You might be going into an interview and feeling nervous, and you can remember a time when you felt confident and go back to that time in your mind, and you actually can produce the chemicals that make you feel good and confident about yourself, even though you're not in that other situation, and you can bring them into the situation that you're in now. So that's a little bit of the neuroscience.
Yeah. And as you say, I am kind of understanding it because you definitely would see, I'm not going to say who it was, but I was watching a sports documentary just the other day and he was psyching himself up for a fight. And it was all to do with bringing back what he'd done and his belief before going in and then re-bringing that belief back in. And that sounds kind of what you're talking about. Now, today I want to ask you about confidence. Confidence is something that a few of us have had the jelly wobbles after the whole lockdown, getting back out into the world again, applying for jobs, pivoting, even getting back out, meeting people face to face. Confidence is a huge issue, isn't it?
Absolutely. It is. And just your point there, I'll just come to that in a second, because it is really important and really relevant at the moment for a lot of people after the 2+ years, you know, over 2 years that we've been through. But just to say what confidence is, I suppose self-confidence is the courage to know yourself, to believe in yourself, and to act on your beliefs. It's an attitude about your skills and abilities. It means accept and trust yourself to deal with whatever comes your way. It means you have a sense of control in your life. You know your strengths, and you have a positive view of yourself. You set realistic expectations and goals and communicate assertively, and you can handle criticism. You can take actions to achieve your goals with a feeling of self-respect, and it means you have a sense of achievement in your life. And coming to your question, I mean, the pandemic, the last 2 years, this has been affected by a lot of people. The sense of achievement, the sense of connection, you know, has been affected for many, many people. And it seems when you look out at the world, a lot of people have got back to normal. And that's very difficult for the huge, huge numbers of people all over the world whose lives have not got back to normal, who for different reasons, for anxiety, physical vulnerabilities or different things that are going on, just haven't been able to get back to their old lives. So their self-confidence really is affected. So, you know, if there was a person who hasn't left their home very much over the last 2 years, which there are many, many people, and they're very anxious, very nervous that, you know, that the virus is still out there, we're in a wave at the moment, it might be very difficult for them to take the first steps to go out. And I suppose it's really hard. So people do, I suppose, at some point when they feel ready, you know, think, well, how am I going to start to get back out there? And it does mean pushing out of the comfort zone a little bit.
Mm. Especially as you were saying about with the neuroscience, we've spent 2 years of programming these thoughts, feelings, chemicals, whatever, into our brains. So to try and go back 2 years to how we felt, that's huge.
It is. It absolutely is huge. And I suppose that's why it's important to take small steps. And it might be just, you know, if somebody hasn't left their house very much, it might be just, I'll stand outside the door, you know, I'll stand outside the door for a minute, I'll go back in, maybe the next day I'll try and walk a minute down the road, you know, and try and increase it, and maybe after a week, maybe after 2 weeks, maybe longer, I'll go to the local shop, you know, to get somebody going back into the office. I suppose a lot of people have gone back into the office now. You know, but for people going back into the office, even that are nervous, it is a lot about kind of self-soothing techniques, you know, kind of reassuring yourself and, you know, reassuring, I've taken all the right precautions, I've done everything I need to do. So it is a lot of repetition in the mind, and that to kind of keep saying everything is fine, I've taken all the precautions. For those who've had the vaccination, I've had my vaccination. It is kind of self reassuring and that, and what we say to ourselves really matters. If we say to ourselves, I can't do it, it's too dangerous, I'm not safe, you know, that's what you're feeding your brain, that's what your brain is going to listen to, you know. But if you say to yourself, I'm safe, I'm okay, I trust myself to deal with whatever comes my way, you know, and that is, you know, producing the serotonin, the dopamine, the oxytocin in the brain, you know, to do that reassurance.
I love that. Absolutely love that. Because even I remember going back a few years, I was teaching in a school and, sorry, coming off maternity leave and eternity leave, as some might say. And yeah, just going into the school before going back to work and just visiting people and bringing in some buns, you know, was a first step for me, because I wasn't just launching myself straight back into it. I was kind of visiting the staff room first, you know, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And it made a huge difference. And yeah, and knowing that you've prepared, because we always hear this, you know, what is it? Fail to plan and you plan to fail or something, you know, knowing that we've prepared ourselves. Look, I've done the best I can do. This is the most I can do. And now that's it. I'm ready for whatever happens next. I was a bit like that coming out. Just boosted the kids, boosted everyone with vitamins, made sure we all got good sleep and everything else. I was like, look, we're at our prime. You know, we can do no more. So, they're really great, great tips.
Yeah.
What if, you mentioned before about people comparing people to other people. They're not staying in their own lane. They're looking and saying everyone else is going about their own business.
Yes.
That's a huge assumption, isn't it? Because maybe then people going about their own business are not. Maybe they're feeling the same as the person thinking they're not, do you know?
Yes. Absolutely, and I hear that a lot in my work, you know, over the last 25 plus years. People are saying, but they're doing this and they're doing that and they look so much better and they look so successful. And, you know, people saying, you know, oh, they went to college and I didn't go to college, and all of that. It really kind of, it drains your energy. Again, from a neuroscience point of view, if you're saying to yourself, I'm not as good as the next person, or comparing, your energy is going to drain. It's going to drop. You're going to feel it. And that's where the whole system comes in. If you listen, feel what's going on in your system, even your gut, you can kind of feel your energy dropping if you're saying to yourself, I'm not as good as other people, or look at them. So it is really about accepting yourself as you are now, whatever, you know, education, whatever your body shape, size, age, whatever, you know, this is how I am now. This is me. And I'm a valuable a valuable person in the world. You know, I'm a precious human living being. And, you know, I have the right to love myself and accept myself as I am. And give yourself permission to be human, as I say, a unique human. You know, there's no two humans in the world that are the same. So it's to try and think, yes, people look as if they're getting back out there and people are flying away and for foreign trips, and I'm still at home, or maybe haven't left the house, or maybe somebody in hospital a lot, you know, just to say, you know, no, they're doing their own thing. I don't need to do that. I need to do what I need to do for my mental health, for my physical health, and I'm doing the best I can each and every day. Every person is doing the best they can each day for their day to go well. Everyone is struggling. Everyone is doing the same thing, you know. And I was at a course yesterday, and the presenter said, when we're out in traffic, you know, we're annoyed by the other cars that are in our way. But every person in a car driving along, everybody else is in their way as well. Everybody's just trying to get to where they're going the best they can. So it's a little bit about accepting ourselves, accepting other people, that everybody is doing the best they can.
Mm. And I mean, I was at that stage before, and when I kind of realised, stay in my own lane, you know, be me, everyone else is taken, you might as well be yourself. And I really kind of got the whole thing of being, I think for me it was an illustration I saw of two swimmers in a lane, and they were neck and neck, and one took a glance at the other one, and that's why he became second, because he actually, you know, took his focus off, whereas the other person was just looking at their own thing, you know. And it was just the stroke in the difference, or half a stroke, and it was just that glance that threw him. And it kind of really made me think, wow, you know. And I think as you get older, I kind of thought that, you know, there's probably less ahead of me than there is behind me. Why waste a single drop of it by worrying about other people or by comparing myself? Just live my life and enjoy what I have and enjoy what I have left. And gratitude played a huge part for me with that. Confidence. So the other thing about confidence, so we've talked about, you know, comparing ourselves to other people. We've talked about looking back at our own history and seeing, you know, what we have, what we don't have, celebrating what we've done right and bringing that forward. Are there any other tips when it comes to confidence?
Yes, there are so many, and I suppose stress management comes into it as well, because if you're feeling very stressed, it's hard to feel confident, because anxiety, worry comes in, tiredness and all of that. So I suppose to work on stress as well. So I suppose even with deep breathing exercises, I really believe in these, you know, just take a deep breath in, hold it for 4 and leave it out for 6, breathing out more slowly in order to kind of bring oxygen to the parasympathetic nervous system. And you know, to do that whenever you feel stressed, or a minute in the morning, a minute in the evening, if you can't sleep at night. A lot of people with stress and low self-confidence, you know, have insomnia. So the deep breathing is excellent. Spending time in nature also is excellent, you know, to get out into the fresh air. And rewarding yourself when you do something good, you know, to say well done to yourself. And you know, to say, you know, that was good. You did a good job there. And just another little tip from neuroscience is the brain, we're hardwired, you know, to listen to, I suppose, negative. They say we need 5 positives to counteract every 1 negative message. So, you know, that's a lot of work in a way, you know, and it can become habit-forming. It can become easier. It sounds like a lot of work that every time you have a negative thought. But even to write down a list of what we call your self-limiting beliefs, the things that hold you back, write down a list of them. Our brain is kind of hardwired when we cross something out to kind of realize that it's done, we're finished with it. So write a list of your self-limiting beliefs, the negative things you might say about yourself. Get a line down the middle and put your positives on the right hand side. What's the opposite of those things that you're saying to yourself? And then to cross a line through the negatives. And the brain is kind of hardwired to say, I'm done with that now. And obviously that's not going to happen in one time of doing it. You might need to do it again, but that can be very helpful to some people.
Absolutely, that sounds amazing, and it's true. We will never talk or allow anyone to talk to us as bad as we talk to ourselves. So even if we just took that one tip today and say, if you can't say anything good to yourself, say nothing at all. We're hitting the break again. Monica, that was absolutely amazing. Monica Jackman, thank you so much for your value, and we're going to put this on a podcast so everyone can listen back. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lovely speaking to you.
Likewise, Sharon. Thanks a million.